This segment of In the Field Radio is brought to you by the Village Global Network, airing on Culture Shock, Radio Verseo, Rockbox FM, and Wapter Music FM. And don't forget, you can catch the replay every Wednesday on Elgin Sound at 2 p.m.
It's In the Field Radio, y'all.
Everything's real in the field.
On 91.3 FM, WVKR.
Hey everyone, it's Erin Boogie from In the Field Radio. So this weekend I got to attend a really super cool event at Happy Tree down in Newburgh. Shout out to Raps, you know, In the Field Radio alumni. He invited me out to a local vocals event. There were some really dope artists that performed. Skateboard T, again, In the Field Radio alumni. You can check out his interview on all streaming platforms. It's up there. Wherever you guys listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those good places. So definitely reach back into the vault and go check that out. Ovi Josie performed, Andromeda performed, Judah Phenom performed. So it was a really cool event, a really chill spot. I definitely suggest you guys check it out. Happy Tree, I connected with the owner, Tiffany. She's agreed to come on the show. You know, we love to support women entrepreneurs, women-owned businesses, that sort of thing. So I'm going to connect with her in the near future, so look out for that. They got some really dope events coming up for 420, since it's a 420-friendly spot that you guys might be interested in checking out. So definitely check out Happy Tree. I think some of the events coming up for 420 are about growing at home, that sort of thing. So definitely tap in with them. Happy Tree on social media. And then we also have a really dope interview for you guys today. We wanted to do something for the incarcerated individuals that listen. You guys are really loyal listeners to our show. So we reached out to Kelsey, who's the barn manager at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation sanctuary farm at the Walk Hill Correctional Facility. And she agreed to come on the show. So she talks about the program and what it means to the horses and what it means to the incarcerated individuals at Walk Hill, the origins of the program. And it's really interesting because it started here in the Hudson Valley. So I thought that was really cool. So I'm going to get into the interview with Kelsey and learn about the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So I really hope that you guys enjoy the show that I've prepared for you today. Welcome back to In the Field Radio. I'm Erin Boogie and I'm here with Kelsey, the barn manager from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation at the Walk Hill Prison Facility. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you.
So thank you for taking the time out to sit with us. So let's dive right in. Let's talk about the origins of the program. It was founded back in 1983.
Correct. And the program started in 1983 when Promise Road got off the trailer in 1984 here at the Walk Hill Correctional Facility program, which is about a mile and a half from the facility, and the program began in 1984. So we are celebrating our 40th anniversary this year.
I thought it was so cool that it started here in the Hudson Valley. Like, how were we that lucky that it started here in the area?
So a lot of people wanted the program in the area. There's big horse industries around here, and so the Department of Corrections wanted to bring a rehab program to the area, and then they also wanted help in regards to having the horses here, and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation jumped on to basically begin the program. And the gentleman that was here before me started the program, and he was here for 34 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so he developed the program. He developed all the curriculum-based work for the incarcerated individuals, and so that's where it all began.
And so then he negotiated the agreement with the Department of Corrections and all that?
Yeah, so he did all the paperwork and everything to begin the program.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
And then, so how many inmates participate in the program currently?
So I currently have between 8 and 12, depending on the day, depending on, you know, how many guys we have coming out. It's usually between 8 and 12.
And can you talk about the curriculum?
Yes. So we currently have an employability profile, which is based off the Department of Corrections side, but we also have a certificate program, which I started in 2020, in March of 2020, right before COVID hit. And so that is called the Groom Elite program, which the incarcerated individuals can walk out with a Groom Elite certificate and be considered a groom. And so I have since 2020, I've been able to certify 15 grooms alongside of the employability profile with the Department of Corrections. So that's a huge ability to be able to have that. Not all programs have a certificate. So for them to be able to walk out with an actual certificate in hand is a big opportunity.
Do they get to learn how to ride while they're there?
No. So here in New York, we don't allow riding. The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation does have a program in the state of Florida as a women's program, and they do get to ride there.
Yeah. How many programs are there across the country?
So in the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, there's 9 across the country, and we have over 450 horses throughout our herd.
And so graduates have gone on to become farriers, vet assistants, and caretakers. So it's not just grooms, right?
No. So we're hopeful that that will be what they go off to. Unfortunately, with my job with the department, I can't find out what they do after. So I'm hopeful that they do go off and do well for themselves, even if it's in a different job, but they still get the baseline of structure that they could possibly need.
So what are some of the other benefits that they receive?
So they also get to learn. So a lot of the men that are coming into me have never, you know, driven equipment, never been around horses. So they get the opportunity to not only work with the horses, but they also get to learn to run machinery. So we teach them how to run zero turn lawnmowers. We teach them how to weed whack, run large tractors with implements on the back in regards to mowing the fields, or at this point where you're raking the fields to get the mud down from the winter seasons. So they get to learn to operate those machines, but they also get to work around 1,200 pound animals that they've never been around. Some of them are scared to death when they start with me, but it usually takes about a month for them to get acclimated to the program and really settle in to learn how to work with the horses, be around them. And it gets to be a little difficult for them if they are unsure. But once they've become comfortable, then they're able to really work around the horses, be able to walk them. And that's what I want is for them to be safe in the beginning and not rush to get in there to take care of them.
Talk about some of those basic things that they learn in the beginning.
So I always start with safety first. That's our biggest part that we start with. And so when it comes to safety, we always start there. And everything is on the ground here at Walk Hill. So they learn about caring for the horses on the outside first of the pen, and then we get them worked into it. So safety part of it is not walking behind the horse, leading the horse on a proper side, learning how to use a halter and a lead rope that goes on the horse to be able to lead that horse. But I also teach them basic first aid. So a lot of these men coming in don't even know how to take care of themselves. And so to be able to teach basic first aid for themselves, but also for the horses, a huge part of my position. I think to a point it's the woman side of me that, you know, every person should know how to take care of themselves, and them not being able to, it's hard sometimes. And now going and taking care of a 1,200 pound animal is something they learn to do, but they need to take care of themselves first. And I do see a change in them when I teach them that first aid or how to take care of the horses. They start taking care of themselves, showering more. They start dressing nicer. They start talking differently. And that's a huge thing for me, is making sure that they have the proper language to talk around a lot of people, and to be able to communicate with others that may be working with them, they may not know how to communicate with as well.
That's so interesting.
Yes. It is definitely a huge part of my job that I take pride in. A lot of them don't know how to say even please and thank you. And I am a stickler about that. So I always want to please and thank you. And that's huge. They don't know how to say please and thank you. And that's something that I take to the farm that I want them to be able to take with them on the outside as well.
Let's take a quick break.
In the Field Radio is brought to you by Mrs. Kisses Pies, the Capital Region's go-to bakery for all your sweet treat needs. From their legendary sweet potato pie to their Cookie Monster or Cinnamon Toast Crunch cheesecakes, and any flavors you can think of in between, Mrs. Kisses Pies is guaranteed to bring out the kid in you with a fresh and delicious masterpiece that'll be remembered long after your next event or family dinner. So visit Mrs. Kisses Pies in Albany and on Facebook to order your own custom desserts. And they'll even deliver if you're on the 518.
I know most of them probably don't have any experience with horses coming into the program, but what about animals in general?
A lot of them have only had real experience, I would say, with cats. And then because we have the Puppies Behind Bars program inside the facility, some of them have been able to like pet the dogs and things like that. But a lot of times I don't get any that really have worked around horses. So that can be tough. It's basically teaching from the ground up as if they were young to now. And so a lot of them have really never been around other animals. And so getting around a 1,200-pound animal can be scary. And these grown men, they get scared.
And what are the benefits to the horses?
So I will say that huge benefit for the horses, it's a rehab for them as well. Being retired, this is a retirement home for them, as if it was a nursing home for elderly. And they get the love and affection from the men when they start to really get comfortable with them. You know, they'll go in, and while they're feeding them, they'll pet them, they'll be around them, they'll nuzzle up with them. And it's really just the comfort of others being there with them that they can bond with. And that's what they start to really see is when the incarcerated individuals really start working with them. They get to have a bond with the horses. And when they start to be with me for about 3 months, they start to have their favorites, which will they'll start to work around more. And that really is part of what I want to see. I want to see the rehab in them, but they're also, you know, having a comfort with the rehab of the horse as well.
And that's something I want to stress to our listeners who I don't think maybe understand, that these horses are coming off the track.
Correct.
And they, I don't think people are as aware of the fate of some of these horses coming off the track, that if they didn't have programs like these, their fate is pretty grim.
So a lot of times the programs that we have and the programs that are instilled in the trainers and the owners and the breeders are to let them go on to a second career as long as they have the ability to. And so there's programs now that are starting where if those horses can go on for a second career and they can become your barrel racers, your dressage riders, your English riders, riding horses, they will. But for these horses that are really broken down and are coming off the track with really bad arthritis, or they're coming off with, you know, severe injuries, we're the place that they come is to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And to be able to have the opportunity with the Department of Corrections is huge. And again, to be around for 40 years is a huge milestone for us. But they wouldn't have this. They would be ending up in slaughter if it wasn't for us to take them on and to really care for them. And it takes a one-of-a-kind person to do a job like this. And it takes certain inmates to be able to do jobs like this, incarcerated individuals to do jobs like this, because it's not easy. And it's not easy to watch these horses have to be euthanized, and the incarcerated individuals do get to see that. And so that becomes to be hard too, but it's also a learning experience for them to be able to see the circle of life.
Now, do they stay there, or are they adopted out?
So most of the time, as long as if they're completely broken down and they can't be ridden or retrained, this is home for them. But if they have the opportunity to be laid up for us, I have a horse right now who's going to be laid up for about 6 months, and then she can be sound enough to be ridden, and we can get them adopted out. We do have the ability to adopt them out as long as they're sound, but we also have a companion adoption agreement as well. So somebody's looking for a companion horse to have, we have that ability as well, where we can they can adopt them as a companion as well.
And so how does that process differ with a horse at a facility versus a horse at a regular traditional sanctuary? Are people able to come try the horses out at the facility, or?
So they can come and meet them. We have the ability where they're able to come for a one-time visit to be able to meet the horse. But obviously, because we don't have riding here at Walk Hill, if they're a riding horse, we typically take those riding horses up to Saratoga. We have what's called our Saratoga farm. Okay. And they are able to try them out there, adopt them out of there. I currently have 3 horses right now that came out of Walkill the beginning of March, and they're being retrained. They're sound. We're getting riders on them, and they can be adopted out, which is really a great opportunity for them to be able to go off and have that second chance to be able to be a riding horse and do what they love.
And what are the facilities like where the horses are kept?
So I sit on 120 acres. 80 of it is fenced in for the horses. Each pasture is about 8 acres each. And they're all in run-in sheds. So all the horses stay out 365 days a year, 7 days a week. Safer for them to be outside, safer for their lung capacities to be outside. And so they're out in full pastures 7 days a week. And as long as they're not hurt, they're out. And I usually have about, right now I have 6 horses per field, which is really nice. I have 9 fields spread across the farm. And so it's a lot to take care of, but it's definitely a rewarding opportunity.
And about how many horses have come through the program in total?
Wow, that's a tough one. I had 56 horses when I started back in 2018. Wow. I currently have 37 right now. I can hold a maximum of 40 horses. It's been a lot. I can't even begin. I wish I could give you a number, but I can't even imagine what has gone through here in 40 years.
That's amazing. And how did you get involved in the program?
So this is a lovely story. Thank you for asking. So the gentleman who worked before me, his name was Jim Tremper, and he worked for the department for 34 years. And I grew up with his kids, and his father passed away in October of 2015. And I went to the wake, and in the funeral, in the wake line, he asked me if I was still into horses. And I said, yeah, I'm working at a standard bred farm doing layups across the street. And he says, well, I want to retire in 2 years. I didn't know what he meant. I'm third generation in corrections. I had no idea that there was a horse farm in corrections, but Jim knew I loved horses. I had gone to college for occupational therapy. It wasn't for me. I went and got my medical assistant and phlebotomy certification in between all of this, just trying to find my way in life. And it really wasn't for me. The medical field I love, I have a passion for healthcare, but it just was not for me. And I waited about a month to give him a call, and it was January of 2016. My parents were in the Bahamas. I called him up and I said, do you remember talking to me? And he was like, I don't, but he was like, I would love to have you come and visit. So I went and visited, and it was a half a day program. I got to see the whole afternoon here at Walk Hill, and I finished the session with him, and I said, so how do I get a job here? Like, how do I take over? He's like, you need a degree in equine science. And I said, okay. I applied to Cobleskill once before. I said, I'm sure I could get in there. So I called SUNY Cobleskill up the next day, and I said, I'd like to apply. They had me reapply. They accepted me the next day, and they got me a room. And I started 2 weeks later in the spring of 2016. They got me all the classes that I needed. And I did my degree in a year and a half to be able to get my position. But in amongst all of that, I volunteered here twice a month. The superintendent that was here at the time, Kathy Jacobson, called me up when I first started at Cobleskill. And she says, are you still interested in that job? She said, I saw your dad at a wake. And she said, I'd love for you to be here as much as you can. And I said, yeah, I'm highly interested in the job. And she said, I think it's the right fit for you. She's like, volunteer as much as you can. And she's like, we'll be on the right track. And sure enough, Jim retired April 25th of 2018, and I started April 26th of 2018. And that doesn't happen in the Department of Corrections, I will tell you that.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I got to
really enjoy it.
Oh, I love my job. I do love my job. It's definitely a very peaceful environment. But that's what I want it to be, not only for myself, but for the incarcerated individuals to enjoy coming to work, but also to have the peace and tranquility of the horses.
And what do you think they most enjoy about the program?
I think they really enjoy the horses, but I also think they enjoy being outside for 6 hours a day. I think that's a huge part for them to be able to disconnect for 6 hours and be able to really just step away and be with the horses. It's very calm. It's very peaceful. We can look at the Shawangunk Mountains as well during our day. And that's a huge, huge opportunity for them.
Where do you think, what would you like to see for the future of the program?
I would love to see more opportunity for the incarcerated individuals to really be able to get jobs in the horse industry. I know everybody is struggling for hires of jobs, but I would really love to be able to send a guy out and say, you have a job in the horse industry. That's my goal.
And so you volunteered there before you got the job there? So you guys have volunteers there?
Yes and no. So I volunteered for 2.5 years just to really learn the program. Mm-hmm. And so we have volunteer. We don't really have the opportunity to do volunteer work here on the horse farm, but we do have volunteers that do come and they, you know, are able to take people around and show them the program alongside of me. So I'm always there, but we do have the opportunity to allow volunteers to come in and brush the horses and things like that. If we have the time.
That's fantastic. And like I said, we have a huge incarcerated listening base. Is there anything that you would like to say to them?
Always continue to have an open mind in life and always listen to the people that are trying to make a difference in your life, because it definitely, there's a reason.
And is there anything else that you want to say to our listeners?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome. Is there anywhere that you want our listeners to follow you guys or to reach out or anywhere so that they can stay in tune to the program and to what you guys have going on? Especially, I know you guys probably have where they can donate, or if you guys have any kind of like charity events or anything like that going on.
So the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is on Facebook. We are also on Instagram and Twitter. And we also have a website, so thoroughbredretirementfoundation.org. And there's a donation link there as well. Or you can follow Walk Hill and our other 9 programs across the country on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. I was so excited about this interview.
Thank you. Absolutely. And if anybody else would like to do one, absolutely send them our way. We appreciate it very much.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Drewski from Hot 97, Love & Hip Hop New York. The heavy hitters, the movement. But it's all about In The Field Radio with Lady D. Yeah, my girl Aaron Boogie. They outside. We really in the field. You know the vibes.
Welcome back to In The Field Radio. You know what I'm about to do. Make sure you follow In The Field Radio. Write to me. Tell me what you think. Do song requests. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me. Do shout outs. If you write to me in the DMs, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Boss me around. I like that stuff. At In The Field Radio on everything. All right. I'm about to get out of here. Big thank you and I love you to anybody that's rocking with us, all our loyal listeners. Love you guys. Thanks for chilling with those chicks on Mondays. In The Field Radio, 91.3 FM, WVKR, Poughkeepsie. Have a good night.